All right, well, tonight's message is, I've titled it, if you want a title, it's called Foundational Healing Truths, and I'm going to build upon and include some of what the pastors have already been teaching on. So after study the word, you'll see that it is always God's will to heal. But God's perfect will is that we don't get sick and we walk in divine health. Okay. Yes, he wants us healed and well, but we need also to understand that what he wants is that we walk in divine health. Many Christians spend too much time trying to get what God already gave us and too much time trying to be what God has already made us. So we need to learn the difference, because a lot of things have already been provided and we don't need to work for them, struggle for them. We just need to receive by faith. So hopefully the content of these classes will solidify our beliefs, our faith, our behavior, and continue to reinforce that healing belongs to us and it is God's will to heal us. So the pastors have already covered some basics regarding healing. And tonight I'm going to be sharing along the same lines. Both I'm going to share things that we need to do and also provide more evidence that it is God's will to heal. So the first thing that I want to talk about, I've numbered them, and I have several, but the first one is that healing is a gift, okay? And this is important to understand when it comes to healing. It's a gift. It's part of our salvation package. And many of you know, because some of you have heard this numerous times, but you know that the word sozo is salvation in Greek, and the meaning for salvation is deliverance, protection, healing, prosperity, provision, and of course, eternal life. So many people think of salvation, okay, I'm saved, I'm going to get to heaven. But it's more than that. It's all-encompassing. So turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, and then we're going to read verses 8 and 9. And I want you to think of salvation, because it is a gift, we can't earn it, we definitely didn't deserve it, and we're not worthy, but it didn't matter. Jesus made it so that we could obtain this gift, and he made us worthy. He did all of that for us. But in Ephesians 2, starting at verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So salvation was a gift, and so is healing. Now, I'm not going to change the scriptures here, but I want you to look at it from this perspective. You could say, "For by grace are you healed through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." You could say, "For by grace are you prosperous," because it's all-encompassing under the word salvation, which is there. And then verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." We can't work for it. It's a gift. Now, if medical science heals, it heals through the physical, right? You go to the doctor. He gives you a prescription. He tells you you need to have surgery. It's done in the physical realm, okay? If Christian science heals, it's through the mind. That's their way, okay? But when God heals, he heals through the spirit. Spiritual healing is divine healing, and it is received from God the Father in the same way that the new birth is received. It's received in the human spirit. All right, so if you understand that, then you get the idea about salvation and healing. All right, number two, God wants only the best for his creation. Only the best. In James 1, verse 17, I'm going to read it, so for sake of saving time, I'll just read it, and many of you probably know it. "Every good gift," and that includes healing, "and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So if healing doesn't happen, it's not from the side of the giver. It's not from God's side. But the problem is on the receiving side. The receiver needs to get fixed. Did you ever talk on the phone to somebody and you're moving or they're moving and you get this static and you're going, "I'm losing you, I can't hear you," right? You know? And you've lost part of the conversation, okay? Well, that's what happens in the healing process, is that sometimes we get to the point where we're not hearing from God. It's not him. It's us. Okay? So we need to fix the receiver and get rid of the static or whatever it is that's the problem. Number three, there is nothing wrong with using medicine. Okay? But here's where some of the issue comes in that realm, okay? Is that many times man will put their trust in their doctor and go to God when medicine has failed. Okay? But our trust must always be in God first. First. God takes the natural plus the supernatural to make an explosive force for God. The doctor does not have the final word. Okay? Keep thinking about that. Keep realizing that. Get that mindset. The doctor does not have the final word. Okay? Now, I'm going to make a statement. And when I make this statement, you might be shocked, and maybe you won't be. But I will come back and explain it. So here's the statement. God is not going to heal you. God is not going to heal you. Are you shocked? Good class, good students. Why? Because he already has. He already has. But do you know how many people struggle with that? Okay? He has already healed us. It's a done deal. It's past tense. Okay? What Christians need to do is stay out of the future. Stay out of the future. And instead of talking about or speaking to or talking about your problems, you need to speak to your mountain. Amen. Speak to the mountain instead of talking about it. You speak to it. You speak to parts of your body if you need to. You speak to it. And you tell it what it is supposed to do. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, familiar scriptures. And what we see here in Isaiah, this was the prophet Isaiah sharing to the people what the coming Messiah was going to be and what he was going to do. That we could look at this person who's going to come, the Messiah, who is Jesus, and it would show us what he would do. So I'm going to read verses 4 and 5, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. And it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows," which is pain. Griefs there means sickness and disease. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." So he's talking about what the Messiah was going to do, what was going to be for us, all right? And then let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. Now, Jesus has come. Jesus has gone to the cross. And Peter has witnessed it. And now he's talking about redemption and he's explaining healing here. He's talking about the sins being forgiven, but also healing. So in 1 Peter 2:24, he's witnessed the crucifixion and he says, "Who his own self bear sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Okay? Notice the tense, past tense. All right? So these scriptures tell us what already belongs to us. 1 Peter 2:24 is not a promise. It's a statement of fact, which tells us something that has already happened. Okay? Turn right over there to 2 Peter 1:3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm going to read it first in the King James and then the Passion. And in the King James, he says, "According as his divine power hath given," past tense, "unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." But listen to it in the Passion. "Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power." everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. Praise God. Once again, past tense. Okay? So when you look at the crucifixion, don't know if you ever noticed this, but the other two men who were crucified along with Jesus, they didn't get any stripes. Okay? These stripes were specific only to Jesus, and they're specific to our healing. So the Father God wanted Jesus to experience the stripes so that we could experience the healing in exchange. Now, if you look at Isaiah 53, and instead of turning there, I'm going to read it. But Isaiah 53, verse 10, it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When he made his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." But it pleased the Lord to do that, to allow the stripes to be on Jesus, for him. It pleased the Lord for him to be crucified. And again, the benefit is for us. Amen? Okay. Number five. Each one of us has to settle it that it is God's will to heal. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. You couldn't talk me out of it. You could try, but I would be right up front and say, no, sorry, no matter how you try, I know it's God's will to heal. Amen. But each of us has to get to that point ourselves, okay? And God healed in the Old Testament just as he did in the New. Remember, Pastor Ed was talking about the covenant, the blood covenant, okay? And God has always been healing. But there's some church doctrines and sometimes there's thinking that happens that people get off on the wrong track, and because somebody didn't get healed that they know or think should have, then they come up with an answer, an excuse that is not biblical, okay? So let's turn over. I'm going to be talking while you turn to Psalm 103, verse 3, and then we're also going to look at Psalm 107, verse 20. But here's perfect examples of the fact that it was always God's intent to heal. In the Old Testament, one of his names was Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Okay? Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. So as you grow in the Word and you get your mind renewed on this topic, you'll get to that point. If you're not there, if this is new to you, you'll get to that point. But Brother Hagin said that the number one enemy to healing is not knowing that it is God's will to heal. And what happens is God can see, or people can see, God will heal so-and-so, but he's not going to heal me, okay? And that's where the growth and the renewing of the mind is necessary, because it's got to become personal for you. You've got to settle that. And the devil will tell you it's not his will to heal you. He will lie to you. Don't believe the lie, okay? So here we are at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 3, it says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Okay, and that means they're chronic and deep-seated sickness. Diseases there means chronic, deep-seated sickness. All right, so that was in the Old Testament. Bump over quickly to Psalm 107, verse 20. And another scripture, 107:20. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." So always remember that it is God's will to heal, and you settle it for yourself, okay? Now, when you look at Psalm 103:3, okay, it covers both factors of redemption, forgiveness of sins and the healing. So it doesn't say he helps manage all our diseases. He wants us completely healed, okay? We see God's redemption plan here. Forgiveness of sins and healing. So let me also say this, that if there is sin in your life, it's going to hinder your healing. Amen. So just go to God, repent, get it taken care of, and if you can be forgiven, you can be healed. Amen. And God graciously does that. And we also see another supporting scripture is Exodus 15:26. The Lord said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and he hasn't changed. All right, now, the sixth point I want to cover is that sickness and disease does not come from God. All right, people will think that, oh, God put this on me, I did something wrong, that's why it happened. No. Let's turn to Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38, and we're going to cover some other evidence that will help you understand that aspect. But we see that in Acts 10, 38, it says that Jesus went about doing good. All right, now first of all, if you're there, Acts 10, 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All right, so he went around healing all, not some, but all. And it was the Father who anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power for him to do that. But once sin entered through Adam and Eve, Satan became the god of this world, and he brought the sickness and the disease with him. So remember that Jesus has said, John 10:10, it's the devil who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I think everybody here can vouch, or you can verify, you know somebody, okay, that when sickness came along, it was destructive, and families sometimes have been destroyed, and it comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus comes along to give us life and life more abundantly. So any sickness is trespassing in your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you have the authority to command it to leave. And I suggest, my suggestion is this, the moment a symptom comes to try to attach itself, speak to it, command it to leave, and it has to obey. Amen? It has to obey. The seventh point is that Jesus came to do the will of the Father. All right. So people who are claiming that it's not God's will to heal, they are not getting the whole picture. Jesus said he only does what the Father tells him to do and what he is told to say. So let's turn to John 14. And we're also going to look at a scripture in John 5. John 14, and we're going to read verses 9 to 11. And it's Jesus speaking here, John 14, verse 9. Jesus, he's talking to Philip. He said, have I been so long time with you and you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And now sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Those works were healing. You could put in there in parentheses, healings, okay? Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now flip over to John 5, and we're going to look at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Okay? So if we're looking at the will of the Father and we're looking at Jesus, all right, they're the same. Everything that Jesus said, he heard from the Father. Jesus demonstrated the love of God by healing. The love, compassion that moved on him, moved him to do something. He never refused to heal anyone. We don't see anything in the scripture to that. He never said, oops, saw what you did Saturday night. You need to suffer for 6 months. Not going to do anything for you. Okay, you don't deserve it. You're not good enough. You were disobedient. You need to learn a lesson. We never, ever saw anything like that in the scriptures. In fact, it tells us he healed all who came to him. There's no limit to his compassion. He even raised the dead. He never put leprosy on someone. He removed it. Okay? He removed it. Remember, okay, when we see Jesus, we see the Father. Everything about the Father is seen in Jesus. So if God put or caused sickness to be put on mankind, he would have to be arrested and put in jail for child abuse. Okay? That settles it. Okay? That's child abuse to put sickness on your children. Amen? Number 8, do not limit God because nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. And I like to say that the word impossible is not in God's vocabulary. That's the best way I can explain it. It's not in his vocabulary. He doesn't use it. But let's turn to Luke chapter 1 and another familiar scripture, verse 37. And here we have where Mary is hearing from the angel about her being pregnant with Jesus, okay? And it says in Luke 1, verse 37, it says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And I like the Amplified translation of that. It says, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Okay? So we see also, we're not going to turn there, but if you want to, you can look up Luke 18, 27, and Mark 9:23, they also support the fact that there's nothing impossible for God. So if Jesus can raise the dead, so can we. Amen. If Jesus can raise the dead, so can we. Okay? Now, how many were here when last summer I had shared with you the story about Kiki at Rhema, from Rhema? She was a Rhema student. Some of you remember that? Okay, well, I'm going to share that and go into a little more detail with it. But this is a perfect example of not giving up and understanding there's nothing impossible with God. Okay, Kiki graduated from Rhema. She had gotten married. She had moved to Puerto Rico. And she had pain issues, and she got addicted to prescription drugs. And she overdosed. It was an intentional overdose. She overdosed, and when her husband found her, she was pretty much gone. Okay, got her to the hospital. She wasn't breathing. They had to put her on life support. Her blood pressure, I think, was something like 40, 30, barely had a pulse. And so they had to give her all these drugs to get her back to life. So she was in a coma. She was not responding. She was basically gone. All right, if they took her off the life support, she would have been gone. All right, so in morning prayer, one of my instructors, Kirk Dubois, knew her personally, had married her, knew her when she was a student, and he came into prayer, and it was like the end of March, and he said, "We have this issue." He said, "We need to get on it really, you know, heavy duty. Let's get into prayer, and let's stand in agreement, and we're going to believe that Kiki's going to live." Her husband was a baby Christian, so he had very little knowledge of authority of the believer. He didn't know anything about healing. And so Kirk was spending his time teaching him and telling him, you have to contend, you have to get in there, you have to fight, you have to, you know, use the word and so forth. So after 3 weeks, she really wasn't responding. Kirk went down there and he goes to Puerto Rico and he gets to the ICU. And let me also put in here, along the way of the course of this, she had at least 4 major infections and problems, including septicemia, which is an infection in the bloodstream, that could have taken her out separately, okay? So she had a massive bleed at one point. They thought she was going to, they had to transfuse her. There was all kinds of problems. So he got down there, and I truly believe, and we realized kind of after the fact, that Kirk operated in the gift of faith. And he went down there, and he got a hold of her, and he got her face right next to his, and his hands up to her face, and he said, "You are not going to leave here this way." And something clicked, went off, okay? And long story short, there was 3 neurologists that said, if she comes out of this, she'll have the capacity of a one-year-old. She won't be able to speak right. She won't have any ability, walking, whatever, because she was, at that point, she was even paralyzed. She couldn't do anything, couldn't move. And so there was no hope from the medical side. Remember I said in the beginning, medicine does not have the final word. Okay? So they're waiting and things are going on, okay? And all of a sudden, at one point, the family came down, they're going to pull the plug, and she opens her eyes, and she's looking at them and following them like she knows what's going on. So she, at the end of 10 weeks, ends up not only walking out of the hospital, but is completely, totally restored. Amen. Nothing broken, okay, nothing missing. She was completely restored. And the neurologists are like, oh, we don't understand this, okay? But that was God. So I want to encourage you that if you have family situations and you know somebody and the doctors are saying there's no hope, there's nothing we can do, God has the final word. He has the final word on any of that, okay? So there is nothing impossible for my God, all right? Now, we know, I want you to think about this. We know that God is omnipotent, correct?
Yes.
Okay? So that means he has all power. Can do anything. We also know that he's omniscient. Means he knows everything. He's, okay? He knows everything, past, present, future. He's also omnipresent. He's available worldwide, all the time and everywhere. But there's also another one. Do you know what the fourth one is? Okay, I'm going to spell it. O-M-N-I-F-I-C-E-N-T. Omnificent. Which means, omnificent means he's all creative. Okay? So he can fix anything. All right? He can grow out an amputated arm or leg. He can put an organ back where one was taken out. He can change somebody's blood picture so that it's absolutely, completely restored. Okay? There's no limits to our God.
Amen.
Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, there's nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us when we measure God by the limitations of our unbelief. Okay? So, there's no deadness in your body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. Repeat that. Say that. Say, there's no deadness in my body that the resurrection power of God can't fix. Say it again. There's no deadness in my body that the resurrection power of my body can't fix. That my God can't fix, right? That the resurrection power of God can't fix. Okay, did I say it? So I don't care if you have an organ, maybe it's a pancreas, and the doctor says, oh, diabetes, you're going to be on insulin the rest of your life. No. No. Okay? Medicine's okay. That's all right. Go down that road. But that organ can be restored back to life. Okay? Number 9. The Calvary was the great exchange. All right? Jesus took our infirmities, and he bears our sicknesses. In Matthew 8:17, we see that. So just as Jesus, who knew no sin, took our sin, gave us forgiveness, he knew no sickness, took our sickness so we could walk in divine health. Okay? So the heart of God is to heal and to repair his creation. He repairs what he made. And if Jesus took it, we don't need to keep it. Amen? All right, number 10. God has promised us long life. And we see from Psalm 91, verse 16, the word says, with long life will I satisfy thee and show thee my salvation. Long life. All right? So we're promised long life. And if we're not satisfied, we get to stay. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to heal me. He's not going to heal Kiki and not you. Okay? Satan tries to take people out when they are young or before their time. And boy, does that irritate me. I get infuriated because it's not right. And these people go home before their time. We have to remember that he's trespassing and he must be stopped. So if you're not satisfied, okay, you're up in age and you're not satisfied, get healed and continue doing God's will. But the way to go home to heaven is on your terms and go home healthy. Go home on your terms and go home healthy. Only believe, okay? So we know people who, I don't know if it was Smith Wigglesworth or some of the others, they just sat in their rocking chair, said goodbye to the family members, and said, you know, I'm heading out, and the next thing you know, they're asleep. Amen. Go to sleep. When you go to bed at night, go to in your sleep. What a great way to go, okay? So God created our bodies to even heal themselves. When you get a cut, right away, the blood corpuscles and everything come immediately to try to clot to stop the bleeding. You break a bone, all right? And immediately it starts to calcify, and it's actually stronger after the break, after it heals, than it was before because there's extra calcium there. It's gotten stronger. Our bodies are incredible. We were truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made, as said in Psalm 139, verse 14. Number 11, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We know that from Galatians 3:13. Sickness and disease are under the law. That's Old Testament, okay? But Jesus redeemed us from the curse, all right? We are no longer under the law, and we are no longer under the curse. We've been redeemed. Number 12, people must learn to receive. Okay, we talked about the receiver in the beginning, you know, fix the receiving end. But we also need to learn to receive because healing is a gift, so we have to learn to receive. And in Mark 11:24, let's turn there quickly. Mark 11, verse 24. Familiar scripture. It says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. The word receive there in that verse, okay, it means to take as one's own possession. You are to take what is yours. So whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you can take them, and you will have them. Take as one's own possession. You take back what the devil stole from you. Get in his face if you have to, and you just remind him that he's trespassing. Now, another point, we're up to number 13. Healing of physical conditions many times have a root in the emotional or mental realm. This is a biggie. You could spend 10 weeks on this, okay? And it's something that's not seen with the visible eye, but it needs urgent attention. About 90 to 95% of medical conditions are rooted or stem from some emotional event. A divorce, death of a loved one, loss of a job, relationship breakup, something. And emotional scars can remain for a lifetime. Unless we get Jesus on the case and he does the healing, okay? But here's a few things that can hinder us in this realm, okay? Number one, unforgiveness. We don't forgive, okay? Number two, rejection. Somebody is rejected and never got over it. Broken hearts. They're one of the most serious conditions that a person can face, but we also know that he came to heal the brokenhearted, all right? There could be abuse. It could be physical or verbal abuse, and there could be sin. But as I said before, get forgiven and get back restored in relationship with Jesus. Now, note that Jesus experienced all of these, so he understands what we're going through. He knows this, okay? But only Jesus can get to the root and heal one's emotions. Medicine gives people pills to heal, but they don't solve the problem. Go back to the root and deal with the problem, okay? So Jesus wants us whole. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Now, some of you may have been here back many years ago. Pastor Sarah did a teaching on Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Okay? So, our pastors, you know, were teaching, and recently Pastor Greg was teaching on choices. And we have choices. And this is a great example, a great scripture that many, need to understand, need to practice, and we have to sometimes go back to it because we can get offended very easily when somebody does something or says something to us, okay? But we have a choice. So it's critical for us to learn that we have a choice to be offended or not. So if something is said or done to you, choose immediately to let it go and not be offended. Immediately. This will save you a lot of heartache. Pray for the person who hurt you and note that the Word of God brings great peace, but we make the decision, the choice, whether we're going to be offended or not. So in this realm, when it comes to emotions and relationships and other people, we need to stay in love because our faith works by love. We need to protect our love walk. So don't let the enemy get you distracted. And if you fail, run back to Jesus and get forgiven. Get rid of any sin in your life. Because we never want people to feel condemnation during the healing process. Their perception of Jesus could be hindered if they feel condemned. But provide encouragement and not condemnation. All right? And in this realm, for several years, I was involved with an organization, the Order of St. Luke, and they studied healing, and it was through the Episcopal Church. And there was a book written by Canon Jim Glennon, and it was called Your Healing is Within You. But one of the things that they had done that they had studied out and realized was when somebody was terminal, they'd get a group of people together and would pray for them, and these would be mature Christians. And what they found out in case after case was there was something that happened in their life 18 months to 24 months prior to the diagnosis. And it was usually devastating, and it was usually extremely hurtful. When they went in, got dealt with the problem, went back to whatever it was, prayed for that, got forgiveness or whatever that was needed in that situation, the diagnosis was gone. The person was no longer terminal. They were healed. Cancer cases, different things, okay? Because you've got to understand that that route, in many cases, will take you down the wrong path, okay? And bitterness, rejection, whatever it is, okay, will get you eventually developing symptoms that you'll say, well, I don't know where that came from, all right? But in all honesty, if you go back to the root cause of it, deal with that, take care of it, your healing will manifest. Okay. Number 14, healing is a process. Okay. Brother Hagin says it this way, it is by degree. There's two conditions involved with healing. And number one is the degree of healing power administered at the time when you pray for somebody or whoever's ministering. And then the second is the degree of a person's faith to receive. But I just want you to follow this for a minute. We are healed the moment we pray. But the actual manifestation may take time to be seen. Okay? Remember the fig tree. Okay? Mark 11, the fig tree. It wasn't until the next day that the fact that it had withered up was noticed. So don't become discouraged or give up in the process of your healing. Just stay in faith, stay in the Word, because our healing is in the spirit realm, and by faith, we cause it to come into the natural realm. How many remember Marty Blackwelder coming here? And this is several years ago, okay. But one time he was teaching about faith. And he talked about the fact that faith, covers a multitude of things, but that what we want, what we need is in the spirit realm. It's in the heavenlies. It's up in heaven. And he gave the example of like a luggage carousel at the airport. And he said, when you go to the airport, you get off the plane, and you have to go claim your luggage. And he said, and you go, and you get there, and everybody's luggage is going around, and you go for yours. Yours is identified. You usually have some way. You have a tag on it, something that identifies that's yours. All right? He said, well, in the heavenlies, in the spirit realm, your healing is there. It's there. Whatever you need, it's up there because it's finished work. It's already done. It's finished, so it's up there. Okay, but our faith is what goes in, walks up to the carousel, grabs the healing, and takes it off. Amen. And we take it and bring it down here into the natural realm. It's simple. Okay, so we are the ones that go after it. It's already there. just go up and take it by faith. Amen? Amen. I don't know how long ago it was, but that stuck with me for a long time. Number 15, always follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Always follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's going to tell you what to do, and if you're ministering to somebody else, he may share with you what to tell them. Because for you, you could have two people with the exact same diagnosis, but God's going to say, this one should do this, and this one should do that, and they're both different. Because only God knows what that person needs. Okay? He may tell one person, go to the doctor. He may tell another one, nope, don't need to go to the doctor, do this. Okay? So always remember that you want to go with the promptings and the leading of the Holy Spirit, whether it's for you or for somebody else. Whatever the diagnosis may be. And don't, sometimes what people also do is they'll hear so-and-so has a condition, a diagnosis, and they'll do what they're doing, they'll copy that, but that's not what God has for them. Okay? That can happen. Number 16, our power and authority come from speaking. Okay? We've been hearing this. The pastors are teaching on this. Pastor Ed was teaching on this. Our power and authority come from speaking. We need to speak God's words. And remember I said earlier, we have to speak to that mountain. It must obey. Because his word cannot return void and is forever settled in heaven, what we speak, we will see. Whether we're speaking good or bad, okay, we will see it. That's from Mark 11:23. But we're instructed there to speak to the mountain. And as I said earlier, don't speak about it, speak to it. So Satan will take our negative words that we speak and use them to deceive us. A thought unspoken is a thought unborn. It remains dead. Amen? Now, the 17th point that I'm going to make at this point. How many have read the book, The Triumphant Church? Okay, was it recent? Was there like a Sunday school class or something on it any time recently? Triumphant Church? Okay. Anyway, I think it's one of the best books that Brother Hagin has written. And absolutely love all the things that's in it. And we were required to read it before going to Mongolia just because of all the demonic stuff that we were expected to encounter. But your view and understanding of what I'm about to share is critical in helping you to receive your healing. So I want you to just kind of listen to this, because there's three points of view about the body of Christ or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to ask yourself, which one do I believe and where do I fit in? Okay, so he talks about, first of all, the defeated church. And in this view, the church is simply unaware of the fact that believers are seated in heavenly places in Christ. They don't know that they are supposed to be reigning in life with Jesus. They don't know how to use their authority, and it's bad doctrine. Came from that, know that, didn't even know God healed. It was what I grew up with was, if it's his will, all right? Their philosophy, their thinking is, you can't be healed, you can't be prosperous or victorious. People simply lack knowledge of God's word. The second type of church is the militant church. And in this, we're not the defeated church. We're not the militant church, okay? But in the militant church, some today think that in order for the church to be successful, you must fight devils. But as believers, we're not called to fight devils. We are called to exercise authority over them. I'm going to say it again. As believers, we are not called to fight the devil. We are called to exercise authority over them. Okay? This church shows a body of believers who are not yet seated in heavenly places, who are trying to get victory over Satan, and they're still battling to try and wage war over Satan. They're trying to get victory, okay? They don't realize that the enemy has already been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the triumphant church, I belong to that group. I believe all of us do as well. That's us, All right? Let's turn to Colossians 2:15 because we want to look at this. Colossians 2:15. It's become one of my favorite scriptures. Everybody there? It's funny because I don't hear pages turning. That's everybody who's using their technology. All right, so Colossians 2:15. Let me read it. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Okay, he did this in three realms, in the heaven, earth, and hell. So, the body of Christ has already been seated. We are in heavenly places. The moment we accept Jesus Christ, we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ. They not only know their authority, that's us, but we exercise it by reigning in life with Jesus Christ. We know and walk in the light of the written word of God. And our mindset, okay, Pastor Ed was talking about mindset, our mindset has to be that we have already won. It has to be there. We have already won. If not, we will fall into Satan's trap and he will defeat us by making us think that we're waiting for victory. In the church, we are not waiting for anything. The price has already been paid and we enact it by faith. Now, picture this. In the Old Testament, many times when they'd go out to war and they'd come back, the defeated king would be brought back. All the spoils would come back with whoever won, with the victors, okay? And they would parade the losers, okay? Those that didn't make it, didn't win, okay? They would parade them in front of everybody. So in this particular scripture, we look at this. Rick Renner does a great job of explaining this about the victory, all right? And he says that Colossians 2:15 conveys this idea, all right? So picture this in your mind. He gallantly strode into heaven to celebrate his victory and the defeat of Satan and his forces. As part of his triumphal process, he flaunted the spoils seized from the hand of the enemy. Yet the greatest spectacle of all occurred when the enemy himself was openly put on display as bound, disgraced, disabled, defeated, humiliated, and stripped bare naked. That's who's trying to defeat you. That's who's lying to you. Okay? They have shackles, so they can barely walk. They're in handcuffs, okay? And bare naked. That's who's trying to convince you that they've got victory over you? No. See him as defeated. You have to see him in that, get that mindset. You have the victory over him. So when he comes to you and he says something, you say, I see you naked. I see you naked and defeated, okay? When I was at Rhema and I worked on the phone lines, people would call in, and they were in the militant church. And they'd call in for prayer, and all I heard about was, oh, the devil's doing this, and the devil's doing that, and the devil's doing this, and it would be going on, like, okay, stop. Okay, I want you to picture this, and I would take the time to explain this to them. Jesus already did this for us. It's done. Okay, so, and then some of them would get it. You'd get that aha moment. Oh, really? Yeah, it's already done. It's a gift. We don't have to worry about it because he did it at Calvary. So see the enemy when he comes at you, picture him butt naked, walking down, totally shamed, defeated, disgraced, all right, because that's who he is. Our Jesus did this for us. Satan is not a force we are trying to defeat. He is already defeated. We have to have this same mindset when it comes to healing. The battle has already been won. Amen? You see that? So that's, it's so critical that we in the body of Christ see ourselves as victorious. We need to see that the healing was taken care of. Jesus accomplished it. We are not going to be healed because we have already been healed. All right? It's already done. And all we get the privilege, the honor of walking out the blessing. How awesome that it was given to us, and all we have to do is receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for healing us. Thank you that it was done at Calvary. Thank you that you defeated the devil. Thank you, Father God, that there's nothing that he can do to us, because he's been disabled, he's been disgraced, and he is butt naked. And we get the victory in Jesus' name. We thank you for all that you did for us. But now by faith, we reach up and we grab a hold of our healing that's on that carousel, and we take it. We receive it, but we take it because it belongs to us. So thank you, Father God, that we have the victory through Jesus Christ. We give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're done.